Good afternoon. We are happy to welcome all of you at our today's event. We are starting a series of press briefings in view of the upcoming general shareholders' meeting of PGC Gazprom. In the month to come, we are scheduling six events to cover the most important areas of Gazprom Group's operations. All these events are going to be held online. We are going to have a dedicated subject of each event and a dedicated date. The list is available at our website or the company's Telegram channel. We are going to have our first event today to discuss power generation, and I'm going to hand over to Mr. Denis Fyodorov, Head of Directorate at Gazprom and Director General of Gazprom Energo Holding. He's going to start with a presentation, and then we'll be ready to take your questions in the Q&A session. Over to you, Mr. Fyodorov. Thank you. Good afternoon, colleagues. I would like to refer to the first page of the presentation, where we outline the key events of 2020 in relation to Gazprom Energo Holding Group. As you all know, that was a tough year with a major impact on our operating numbers coming from the COVID-19 pandemic. Given that fact, our power generation number went down by 11.5%, while heat generation is down by 3.6% given the warmer winter and high ambient temperature. Nonetheless, despite the crisis and the COVID-19 pandemic, we keep implementing our investment programs. Vobodninskaya heat and power plant has been completed and successfully commissioned in April 2021. We are actively working to deliver further projects in the competitive modernization project selection process, and we are also striving to improve reliability of our equipment. I'm going to say more about our financial results. Given the challenging external environment, our financial numbers turned out to be much better than we had initially planned for. Our Russian accounting standards revenue is down by 3.7%. The EBITDA is down by 5.5% as compared to the previous year of 2019. Nonetheless, we were still higher against our plan in the budget, despite the negative macro environment. Our leverage, our debt burden is down by 14 billion rubles, and we have obtained a positive outcome from the optimization efforts, standing at 3.8 billion rubles of savings. We have a long-term cost optimization efforts developed by Gazprom, and on top of that, we have undertaken further measures internally, with the overall savings now exceeding 10 billion rubles combined. In 2020, we have also worked to integrate REP Holding into Gazprom Energo Holding. For the first time since 2012, REP Holding became profitable at 0.7 billion rubles. So the company is going to distribute some dividends this year. Carrying on. Now, let's take a look at the key operating numbers for our major generating assets. We see a power generation coming down by 11.5%, as I have mentioned earlier. This is driven by the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as by the fact that electric power prices are significantly down at certain periods of time. The prices were as much as 20% down as compared to the same periods of 2019, which has called upon us to work and respond to reduce power generating volumes at the less efficient power plants that are loss-making or less feasible. Heat generation now, again, not much to comment. It's down, driven by the ambient weather temperature. One thing to note, we have worked very actively in those regions where we operate and with the regional authorities. So we have 104% of receivables collections, which is great. We have also worked with the Moscow government. So we have tactically got away from any outstanding amounts due from the management companies, which in turn has allowed the company to demonstrate some great financial performance. The financial numbers are on the slide in front of you. Compared against 2019, Gazprom Energy Holdings revenue is down, standing at 491 billion rubles, while the EBITDA is down as well, standing at 116 billion rubles, and the net income is at 49 billion rubles. However, we are much above the original plan or budget for 2020. On the EBITDA side, we are up as compared to the plan by 13.2%, while the net income is up by 48.5%. The company's debt is represented on the following page. Again, everything is going to plan. We're deleveraging the company. The net debt to EBITDA at the end of 2020 stood at 0.9 times, which is less than one time EBITDA. The insignificant increase of debt in 2019 was related to the acquisition of REB Holding. In a nutshell, Gazprom Energy Holding enjoys a resilient financial position and great financial numbers, so we have a huge upside in terms of investment efforts. The following page explains our dividend. Gazprom Energy Holding Group has been paying high dividend each year sustainably. So this year we're going to hit 50%. Actually, we did hit the 50% payout ratio in last year, and we're going to carry on into 2021 as well. For some companies, the dividend will be significantly higher than the 50% threshold. Colleagues, I have seen quite a lot of questions which you have submitted, and see many of them are related to our power generating assets, which are standalone companies. We run quarterly meetings with their management, so they are happy to meet the media and explain their situations. I understand we are talking about Gazprom Energy Holding here. We cannot fully avoid questions dedicated to specific power generating companies, but again, we are looking into Gazprom Energy Holding, and I would like to ask you to focus on Gazprom Energy Holding. I cannot disclose the dividend for the company since the board of directors has not taken the decision as yet. I'm an insider in relation to Gazprom Energy Holding, so I cannot disclose that number to you. Next page. As I have explained, we are very actively working to optimize the cost side of the company, and we have managed to reduce that line by nearly 4 billion rubles thanks to the cost optimization efforts, which is part of Gazprom Group, a holding company. We are also working towards environmental efficiency, like the share of coal and the fuel mix is coming down sustainably. Our emissions have been coming down again sustainably since 2007. So everything is going to plan in that regard. A few words about the company's strategic priorities. We keep working to implement PGC Gazprom's power generation strategy. Some adjustments are to be made, of course, given some new industrial assets have been included into Gazprom Energy Holding Group. Now that we manage Gazprom Teploenergo, we'll need some adjustments implemented in the strategy. But in 2021, we'll be working to develop the strategy and have it delivered before the end of the year. On top of that, we are getting involved in major Gazprom's projects. Just like I said, we have commissioned Svobodninsk heating power plant with 160 megawatt of power that was commissioned in April 2021 to feed the Amur gas processing plant. This power plant construction was fast-tracked within about 2 years, or slightly more than that. So it was built earlier than the Amur gas processing plant, and we are ready to supply industrial steam as well as electric power to that facility. We're also working on construction of Pančevo heat and power plant in Serbia, which is to be completed this year. I have seen the questions, and there is an abundance on the non-core assets. Well, unfortunately, we cannot disclose our negotiations that are ongoing given the non-disclosure agreement. We are decommissioning the less feasible facilities, so by 2021, about 2,000 megawatts are to be decommissioned. We keep diversifying the business, developing machine building, service and repair assets as well. So, a few words then about Gazprom Energo Holding industrial assets, with its main assets Gaz Energo Service, REB Holding, and two main motorways. These companies are pretty much fully involved with Gazprom's facilities, or towards Gazprom's facilities, with quite a lot of workload on them. REB Holding got its first net income and also is paying the dividend this year for the first time at 50% net income. Well, the two other assets I've mentioned, acquisition of those two was completed early in 2021, and we're going to integrate them into Gazprom Energo Holding gradually. This is all I would like to tell you, and I've tried to be as concise as possible to leave as much time as possible for your questions. Thank you, Mr. Fyodorov. We're ready to proceed with the Q&A, and the first question is coming from AKM. Svetlana Khorkina, please go ahead. Svetlana, hello. You can go ahead with your question. Good afternoon. My apologies. I thought you'd read it out. I would like you to say a few words about the prospects of green power generation. Gazprom Energo Holding includes a company called TGK1, which owns hydropower generating assets, which we keep developing. As you are aware, we have one competitive selection process for modernization efforts of a hydropower plant in Murmansk region. We're going to be involved in other projects too, but I cannot disclose them as yet. As you can see, the competition has become extremely tight in that market. Hence, all the properties, the parameters of new projects cannot be disclosed. There will be projects coming. They are definitely in the pipeline. We have some prospective developments, including early arrangements with our partners, and we'll be running those. So there will be a bidding on renewables in August, and we'll definitely be bidding on that one. I cannot give you the details because that would affect the bidding. On the hydrogen, now we are working on a project at Salavat, where we have a power plant, steam and gas powered, and we have the infrastructure available for the second power unit. Currently, Gazprom Energo Holding is working with a number of foreign partners to develop the feasibility study and the business requirements for a power plant fed with hydrogen and natural gas mix. Thank you very much. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Kommersant. Ms. Tatiana Diatel, please go ahead. Mr. Fyodorov, hello. I have question about the turbine offtake. Can you disclose the capex for the project? Don't you fear that 110 units will not be effective? And do you have plans to transfer Novocherkasske heat and power plant towards gas power? You have mentioned you'll be bidding for the renewables in August. Are you going to bid with sun, wind, or water power? Water is hydro is definitely the priority. Whether turbines 110 will be performing or not. Well, we have really looked into the market extensively. Our experts have visited Rostec facilities where these are produced. Obviously, there are some risks, of course, as is the case for other companies who partook in the bidding. However, we can say with confidence it's the third series of 110 turbine, the third mod, if you wish, which has addressed all the drawbacks faced by the manufacturer as well as the companies running the turbines. And those would be delivered, those turbine units will have been delivered to Udarna already before it comes to our power plant. Hence, this project is the least risky for us in our view. So the power plant will be performing, and our negative experience with the power plant in Ryazan will be forgotten. Once you overcome the first issue, it is going to run smoothly. We do not intend to have a full conversion of Novocherkassk plant towards gas. It will be a coal and gas mix. Question, are you going to give out the CAPEX number? Answer, no, I'm not. Thank you. Next question from Interfax, Mr. Ivan Peshinsky. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Fyodorov, hello, can you hear me? Yes, we can. I have one question. Although you have asked not to ask company-specific question, but it is. This year, Gazprom Energy Holding has not disclosed its traditional 2021 financial performance forecast, but maybe you can give out some guidance for the net income and EBITDA of your three major generating assets. And another question, whether Gazprom Energy Holding is currently considering how you could localize turbine production in Russia. If so, whom are you talking to? And I have one further question on Svobodninsk heat and power plant. Is it going to be managed by Gazprom Energy Holding, or could it be acquired by the project, by TGK2? Thank you. Let me start with your first question. On the generating companies and their guidance, I really don't recollect it that we disclosed any particular guidance or financial forecast. Well, we have a rather strong financial plan, rather optimistic, and the results of Q1 this year provide us with confidence that we will be meeting the consolidated budget of Gazprom Energy Holding for 2021, which has been endorsed by the chairman of the management committee, Mr. Miller, and we'll have some good financial performance. On the localization of turbine production, the bidding has finished, the projects have been selected on a competitive basis, and it's rather difficult to consider any major localization project for large capacity turbine today, although we are talking with Insolidar, with Siemens, to localize the high capacity turbine production. However, all of that is too early as yet, so I don't think I can comment much. The buyout of SDGT shareholding is not considered feasible at this point in time. Should any amendments be introduced into their development strategy, this could become realistic. Now, as to Svobodninsk heat and power plant, we're going to look at the situation as it develops. We wanted to deliver the power plant up front within the timeline planned. We have successfully delivered it because that's a hallmark project, not only domestically but also on the global scale. Obviously, we needed to have the power plant well in place ahead of the Amur GPP. Hence, all efforts were focused on implementing the project within the timeline and within the budget scheduled. So we have done so, and we'll sit down with Gazprom and talk about what to do next with it. I think I have addressed all of your questions, haven't I? Have your questions been answered? Yes, thank you. Thank you. And just a quick word, if I may. As to the financial performance, we run quarterly meetings of the management teams at the generating assets. They have very well qualified management teams. They're happy to disclose and explain everything. And frankly, I don't recollect ever circulating any guidance on the Gazprom Energy Holding level with a breakdown for the generating assets. Mr. Mikhail Chirov from TASS, please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fyodorov. Thank you for this opportunity to ask a question. I have two, frankly. My first question relates to extending your agreement with Rosseti to settle the receivables from republics in North Caucasus of Russia. Is there any progress, and is it feasible at all to extend the agreement? I understand opinions vary, and opinions vary, so I would like to hear yours. And the second question is whether you would like to be bidding for the power generation assets for Vostochny, and what kind of power generation you're going to bid with. Let me start with the second question. We are planning to bid, but we need to get the terms first. Once the bidding has been announced, we'll be able to say definitively whether we are in or not. So far, we're working on that. My colleagues are prepping, and we do intend to bid. That's one thing. And your other question on the Northern Caucasus. Of all comments I hear in the media seem to present the agreement as if the generating company and Rosseti have signed like some sort of a paperwork and it could be terminated or given up if you wish. No. In fact, a major systemic effort has been ongoing for 10 years to settle the receivables due from republics in the Northern Caucasus. It's not only Rosseti, but also all generating companies that have signed up. We have a huge social responsibility on the generating side of the agreement. So unilateral withdrawal from the agreement would be just wrong, in which case we could probably reconsider some other arrangements, some other mechanisms, some other approaches to our burden as the generating assets. You know, we may be unhappy with something as well. But again, once those agreements were entered into and supported by the Russian government, well, they need to be acted upon, and one has to live by the rules prescribed in the power generating business. Every agreement is long term. You don't set the rules for a short span. So I think, with all due respect and my good relationship towards the new head of Rosseti, he's very professional. He's very well prepared for the job, but that agreement needs to be extended, and this issue needs to be overcome, and this issue cannot be taken up by us alone. I'm speaking on behalf of Gazprom Energy Holding, but I'm also confident that other generating companies will undertake all the measures possible to recover the receivables in question and will be working in the interest of our shareholders, the main shareholders as well as the minority shareholders. So in my view, this issue should not be on the table at all. We have identified the mechanisms to settle it, and now Rosseti needs to deliver against the commitments they have underwritten. Thank you. Thank you. Next question is coming from Reuters. Anastasia Lorchikova, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I have a few questions and a few bits to clarify. You have mentioned you're working with foreign partners to discuss construction of a power plant fed with natural gas and hydrogen mix. Can you give a few names? What foreign partners could be involved and what could be the total scale of the project? And whether Gazprom Energy Holding is considering a project of green hydrogen, given the fact you have a hydropower plant and you're going to bid in the renewables selection as well. Maybe you could say a few words about what you think of the prospects of such projects in Russia. And one other question. I understand you are restricted by confidentiality agreements as regards certain assets, but you have mentioned there is interest towards Lukoil's assets. I'm wondering if you have already started some discussions to buy Lukoil's power plants. Thank you.
We are not involved in discussions with Lukoil. That's one thing.
On hydrogen and the capex for the project, you see, we're talking about a power plant here, which was originally designed and built for two power units. We have all the infrastructure in place for two power units, which really streamlines the whole project, so that reduces the capex when one potentially builds, like, the second power unit in some form. This power plant currently has more than 80% utilization. Currently, we are not going to affect the current power unit available. It is needed for the system, so we're not touching it. The project is not that advanced as yet for me to give you any number of the capex or potential options for the projects. We understand what kind of turbines we'll be using. We understand the mix of hydrogen and natural gas to be applied, and we're talking to the manufacturer of such equipment, which is Siemens, for Slovatska power plant. So we're working with Siemens in this regard. But again, it's not even feasibility study. It's not even pre-feed. That's some early work, which is going to tell us all the pros and cons and challenges which may arise when running the project, because there is very little experience available of such power plants in construction.
And how about green hydrogen?
Let me share my personal views. It's Mr. Aksutin, Mr. Oleg Aksutin, who is in charge of the hydrogen thing here at Gazprom. He's going to have a dedicated session here later on, and he'll be happy to share his views. We are currently working to build up experience with hydrogen. Whoever manages to do industrial production first, they will be the leader. Whoever makes the equipment for first hydrogen-powered power plants, they will be more advanced. They will have the competitive edge as compared to those equipment manufacturers who haven't obtained that experience yet. Whether it's amber, yellow, tortoise, or green hydrogen, this doesn't really matter. We would like to gain experience with hydrogen in general without any further split, be it green, blue, or whatever. It's too early to have that breakdown as yet. Thank you.
Mr. Fyodorov, can you clarify on the renewables bid in August? Do you intend to bid with small hydro or also sun and wind?
Mainly hydro. We did make a bid last year with wind, but the actual price did not make us happy and did not meet our investment efficiency criteria prescribed by the holding company, Gazprom. That's why our bid did not go through. We did have our bid selected for the hydropower. We do prioritize hydropower, although we work on those other two as well. Anastasia, have all your questions been answered?
Yes, thank you.
Now, Mr. Aksutin's session mentioned by Mr. Fyodorov is going to happen next Tuesday next week. Next question. In the meantime, Russia Today, Elizaveta Ornavitskaya, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fyodorov. I have a question to you. Is there any timeline for the management committee and the board of directors to consider and endorse the development strategy covering the years up until 2035? And one other question, when could you
potential, what are the terms or circumstances under which you could sell LGK2 from Mosenergo?
We don't have the plan to divest from LGK2. That's our core asset, and you have seen the financial performance of all the companies. Just great across the board. They're financially resilient with less than one times EBITDA in terms of leverage at Gazprom Energy Holding, so it doesn't make any sense to divest. Everyone understands that fundamentally the stock market undervalues this asset, so selling down OGK2 from Mosenergo? No, we don't have this plan, especially considering OGK2 is paying dividend to Mosenergo, and just like I said, it's going to be at least 50% net income. Regarding the strategy, just like I said, given the fact Gazprom Energy Holding has expanded its perimeter, we'll need certain adjustments into the strategy, which we're currently devising. So that internal effort is expected to be completed in the third quarter 2021. Whether we'll manage that to finish that before the board? No, I think the board will be considering it next year rather than this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Mr. Denis Lebedev, Fontanka.
Good afternoon. Please share some details about your modernization, about your own industrial production facilities and the modernization portfolio. Whether Russian producers are happy to meet the order book that you have. I understand you're asking about REP Holding. We have a three-year contract with BGC Gazprom. It does get adjusted from time to time, but basically, on the revenue side for REP Holding is going to be 20 to 25 billion rubles. For Tyumen Motor Works, again, we have long-term contracts as well as for GES. I can tell you that the volume of contracts from Gazprom exceeds the production capacities of those three assets. Some of those are performing with three shifts, which we have started as of recently. And nonetheless, we don't manage to meet the growing demand of Gazprom. So those facilities are definitely to be upgraded. I think that would be my answer to your question. We only consolidate REP Holding as part of Gazprom Energy Holding based on the results of 2020, while in 2021 or 2022 we'll see Tyumen Motors and Tyumen Gas GS will be consolidated as well. So we have the order book, and the most important thing now is to ensure we deliver systemically and ramp up the capacities, and the demand for their products is definitely there for decades to come. Can you give me the numbers? The numbers, what do you mean the numbers? The order book size. I can tell you this, REP Holding has the average revenue of 22 to 25 billion rubles, that's revenue per annum. It fluctuates, but not much, while their capacity to produce Ladoga compressor stations stands at 11 units per year. You're on mute, Denis, we can't hear. Question, the order book and the revenue, is that the same? For a machine-building plant, that's pretty much the same. Denis, has your question been answered? Both yes and no. Okay, we can clarify that. Please submit your question in writing via our press office, and we'll be happy to disclose. It's not classified. Thank you.
Colleagues, I'm looking at the WhatsApp chat and I see no further questions. So, oh, there is, from Tatiana Diatel. Tatiana, you seem to have another question. Please go ahead. Denis, you have mentioned that you have identified a solution for Northern Caucasus. Can you specify? I referred to exactly that agreement signed about a year ago. So we believe it must remain in place further on. Tatiana, like in the power generation business, you can't really do it like that. You do one thing today, you like it, you don't like it tomorrow, you no longer do it. Trust me, quite a few things have me asking questions, let me put it this way. But once a consolidated resolution of all the market, of all the industry has been achieved in the broadest sense, then those agreements need to be complied with. Maybe someone doesn't like something else tomorrow, like any of the non-market markups. So do we break that thing down? No, I don't think so. Once the agreement has been attained and signed up, I hear these media reports about Mr. Levinsky signing it. No, it's not only him. It's all of the power industry, all of the companies. It's a consolidated decision. The Northern Caucasus issue is relevant, but yet a less significant portion of that agreement. It's just a tiny bit, and suggesting we give up that tiny bit and keep everything else in place, I don't think it's fair towards the industry, the energy community. What's the status of this agreement now? Has it been terminated due to non-payment, or is it still in place? Just like I said, our legal team, as well as legal teams at other power generating companies, are working to address that question. But I wouldn't really rush. Thank you. Another question from Mikhail Sharov, TASS. Thank you. Again. Mr. Fyodorov, during the presentation, you have mentioned that based on the 2020 results, you're going to pay about 50% of IFRS net income, while some companies may well exceed that threshold significantly. Can you mention which company specifically? Well, just like I said, I'm an insider for the company, and we have a law on insider information. If I were to disclose this before the board approves, I would have a lot of pain to face, you know? But so I cannot disclose. Please watch those power generating companies' websites. They're going to disclose it. Thank you. And one follow-up question from Lyudmila Podobedova. She hasn't managed to join, so she's asking to read that out. Gazprom Energo Holding has suspended talks to acquire ETA Plus. Are you going to resume, and in what terms? As of now, we are not discussing the acquisition of ET Plus. Thank you. Anastasia Lozhikov from Reuters. I would like to ask again on the assets. The fact you're not talking to Lukoil, does this mean you no longer have interest to their assets, or have you concluded your talks and you're not taking it any further? You're not happy with some terms, or have you never done that at all? You're taking me towards disclosing some confidential things, you know? Okay, and what's the other question? You have mentioned you had interest in machine building assets. Any plans to acquire something on top of REP Holding? And just like I said, and we have demonstrated it on the slide, we have acquired Gaz Energo Service, GES, and Tyumen Motor Works. That's our pool for now. We have further options with some targets available on the market, and we're working on that. On Lukoil, let me put it this way. We're currently not holding discussions with Lukoil to acquire any of their assets. Thank you. Colleagues, I would like to thank you at this point. Should we have no further questions? We're ready to wrap up this press conference. Thank you very much for taking part.